Hola, cage fighting connoisseurs. This is Kid Nate. This is Nate Wilcox, no longer of BloodyElbow.com. I sold it. And I'm going to bring Steph in to ask me a few questions about the sale. Steph?
Hi. All right. Hey. So, first off, I guess just run us through how you got into contact with GRV Media and, you know, basically what happened to bring us to the point of the sale.
I mean, essentially what happened to bring us to the point of the sale was Google changed their algorithm in the fall, and we went from having traffic that was doing better than we had done under Vox 2023 versus 2022 to traffic that was much worse than we had done under Vox and was doing only about half of what we had been doing before August or through August of 2023. And I probably should have sold it right away, but it wasn't obvious. I mean, Google doesn't tell you what they're doing, and you just are kind of wondering, why are we not getting the traffic we used to get? Why are we not seeing ourselves in the Google Discover results? Why are we not seeing ourselves in Google search results? Why are we not placing in Google News results? And then you wonder why, and you try to change things, and you wonder if, you know, I mean, we'd had months where traffic was down a little bit. And so maybe it was just an off month, and then there's two off months, and then you're trying other things. And we tried changing ad partners and moving to a new web host because we had been told that mobile performance was a big thing that Google was looking at, and that perhaps our mobile performance with our ad partner, our original ad partner, wasn't satisfactory anyway. So the site was losing money hand over fist through the fall and winter. We changed web hosts. That didn't help. So I knew by January that we were in pretty deep trouble. Around that time, I was contacted by a web broker who introduced me to GRV Media. And because of the timing of it, I'm under the impression, and all of this stuff is just stuff I've been told, and I don't have any basis, you know, factual basis to know. But my understanding is that if you have a news site like Bloody Elbow, that if you let it go without updating it for any length of time, that it will lose standing with Google and it will lose value. And so, because I had a number of debts, changing ad partners caused me to owe money to both the old ad partner and the new ad partner who had advanced this money. And I wasn't going to be able to pay the team to make content in March. That put kind of a deadline on it. And so the discussions with GRV just moved really fast, and I accepted their offer. And I definitely understand why people are unhappy with them. I'm not happy about this either, but I had some time to prepare emotionally, and I don't think in a way that the staff didn't. And also, I think, you know, I know Anton Tabuena, the former managing editor of the site, longtime managing editor of the site, is pretty upset that his content was removed from the site. I didn't know they were going to remove all his content from the site, but I was actually kind of happy that they were going to be taking off the controversial content, because that meant that it would be available for the authors to republish it. One of the odd things about the way Vox did their contracts, and I never asked for copyright. I let everybody keep their own copyright. I just took the clause that Vox had in their contract, which is to license in perpetuity to Bloody Elbow. So if you wrote something for Bloody Elbow, whether it was through with Vox or my company, BE Presents Publishing Inc., you retained the ownership of it. It's just that the electronic first call is held by Bloody Elbow. So Bloody Elbow has the first call to publish it online forever, as long as it's bloodyelbow.com and it's electronically. But that means you can publish it in a book, you can publish it in a magazine, you can print up copies and sell them. And I don't quite know what it means if GRV Media, for example, still has it online. But I know that if GRV Media takes it offline, and they're choosing to interpret it the same way, that the copyrights return to the author, and so the copyright holder can publish it online whenever they want. So Anton can download his stories and post them tomorrow on a WordPress site. Like there, it's very quickly. And I'm hoping he'll want to do that when he gets back on his own site. I don't have copyright to it. I can't publish anybody's stuff. I'm going to be working with John Nash to republish some of his stuff on the MMA Draw website or Substack. But every other author I'm going to have to work with to see, you know, either to try to help them or encourage them to republish stuff online or ask permission and work out a deal to publish it on MMA Draw. Next question.
With GRV Media and the Bloody Elbow takeover and everything, it was really kind of fast, as you mentioned, but it was even faster how quickly they took control and locked us out. Go through how we were able to get our SRT files.
Well, I still have a copy of the old site. Nothing has been lost. And any Bloody Elbow writer who wants to download their stuff who didn't get a chance to download it, I have it. We can download it and get it to you.
Okay. Because I know Mookie was not able to get in on time. So at least he will have his content then, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And talk a little bit about the MMA Draw, how you came to that name, if that name is going
to
change.
I just had to come up with something quickly, so there's not much to discuss there. I had hoped that I would have some time to do a vote from readers on the new name and give them some choices, but GRV didn't want us to publish anything as Bloody Elbow anywhere. So I thought we would have a couple of weeks, and that was a misunderstanding on my end. And because they are generously letting us keep the podcast and YouTube videos and other content up, you know, while we talk about what needs to be pulled down or changed or whatever. So, you know, I just came up with the name. that's what I threw out there.
Are there going to be plans to change it, or are you going to keep it there?
I'm going to keep it. I mean, I don't see any reason to rename it. It's got MMA in it, which Bloody Elbow never did.
Yeah.
And it seems like a perfectly fine name. Proper nouns take on whatever meaning people assign to them. Like Led Zeppelin becomes a band name if you say it enough. You know, just like Bloody Elbow became an MMA website if people thought of it as such. And even though, you know, I named it as a joke, Jerome Armstrong, one of the co-founders of SB Nation, thought it was a funny joke and insisted that I name the site that. And then within a month of launching it, or at the most 6 weeks of launching it, I brought in Luke Thomas, and he wanted to change the name from the get-go. And Tyler Blazinski and other people at SB Nation wouldn't let us change it. I think we had a good run. I think we overcame most of the stigma of the name, but it always held us back. It was a big factor in why Vox bought MMA Fighting and why they bought MMA Mania. They wanted a big flagship MMA site, and they knew that anything named Bloody Elbow was never going to be their flagship site. They gave me a very brief chance to be involved in an alternative called MMA Nation that had me, Luke Thomas, Jonathan Snowden, and Tommy Myers of MMA Mania. Pretty good lineup, except we were all doing it in our spare time. We had no budget whatsoever, and I think we got 2 months or 3 months to try to make a go of that before they bought MMA Fighting from AOL and pushed us to the back of the line. And anyway, so, you know, the Bloody Elbow name, I think, was a big part of the reason that the SEO on Bloody Elbow, that Google started downranking Bloody Elbow pretty relentlessly from 2016 on, and had only continued, as we saw again this year. And I don't know how much of the cuts this year were because we were an independent site. I've read a lot that smaller and mid-sized sites, particularly independently owned ones, really got hammered, and that there's about 16 companies that do most of the online web publishing, and that supposedly sites owned by those 16 companies, including Vox Media and GRV Media, were rewarded pretty heavily by Google, and you know, where we and many, many other sites were punished to a crushing extent.
What do you think about GRV Media turning around within 10 days, 2 weeks? Turning around and putting out the call for experienced editors?
I mean, that's totally up to them. You know, they wanted to make a clean break with the site, you know, for a variety of reasons. And they were not interested in doing journalism, which is expensive. You know, my conversation, I've had conversations with GRV Media, which is something that nobody else in the bloody elbow scene has done. So to my view, they're very canny operators who are strictly looking to make a buck out of the site. Every decision they're making, as far as I know, is a rational decision based on a premise and a business logic. I don't think that they are part of any UFC conspiracy to take Bloody Elbow's content offline. I think they just don't want to be in the business of publishing journalism. It literally costs more money. You have to, what I was paying as a one website company for media insurance was more than twice what they were paying for all 80 of their websites for media insurance. Maybe I'm a poor comparison shopper. I don't know. I thought I had a fairly good media insurance broker. It was really hard for me to find anybody who would sell media insurance. It's a pretty niche industry. You know, I think that GRV's policy of not doing investigative journalism is something that's heavily rewarded by the industry.
But that's what they did, though. They turned around after.
Well, they asked for experienced writers. They're not asking for experienced journalists. They're asking for people to churn content.
But they want experience with fighting and fight analysis. I mean, they had that already.
I think they wanted a clean sweep and didn't want to get...
That seems so counterintuitive. Don't you think that,
it's not my place to say, and, you know, I understand people being upset with GRV Media, but they've been totally fair to me and easy to deal with on my end. It has moved fast. The whole thing had to move fast. There were so many steps of due diligence and then just changing accounts and everything. Like, it probably seems to other, you know, it definitely seemed to the staff like I just sprung this on you fully formed, but I mean, I was, you know, running and gunning pretty frantically the whole month, trying to close the sale. And I did talk to some other potential buyers. But the reality was, with the hit that the revenue had taken and the total lack of profitability we were showing, that, you know, other buyers were just not, once they got those numbers, the conversation stalled or the bids got lower. So anyway, just to say that there's a lot to this. There's a lot of things that GRV is having to do, you know, to move the site and tons of accounts and Google accounts and, you know, social media accounts and everything that had to be transferred and all of that stuff is difficult and, you know, finicky and takes expert people working on it, you know, full time for at least a few days to get done. And so, you know, this is their first MMA site. And so they're probably going to have some hiccups and a learning curve. I just view it as none of my business. I mean, there's no upside for me in watching closely what they're doing or getting engaged in it emotionally. It's just not anything I have control over.
And what is the goal of MMA Draw? To access the bonus content of this episode, you must be a paid subscriber. To do that, go to themmadrawpodcast.substack.com and subscribe today.